When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's Olly.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Welcome to Horror Bites on Saferin, a show where we highlight short indie horror games and the people who make them. I'm thinking the truth is out there and he's seeing just where this hole will go. I'm Neil Bolt and he is Jay Krieger. How goes it, Jay?
I'm doing well, man. Officially on vacation as of recording this, so I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than with drink in hand to chat about this week's games.
There you go. I'm at the other end of that tunnel, unfortunately. So so different moods going into this week. This week, we've got a long trip down a strange and violent hole outside of internet comment sections for once. And we're returning to a Horror Bites favourite for their latest game. These games can be found on itch.io, and if you play them and enjoy them, please help developers out by supporting them, their present and future works in any way you can. As ever, links for both games will be included in the show notes. So first, Jay, to paraphrase two completely different films, what's in the hole?
Well, you know, I had such a great time with Neptune's Children last week, which was a dungeon crawler game jam entry. So I figured, why not return to the well of dungeon crawlers with this week's game, which is Agujero, which is Spanish for hole. And I apologize for potentially butchering that. And that is from the collective of Night Frames, Euphrasio, Picas, Culo Extremo, Chuso, and Renato. So a lot of chefs in the kitchen with this one, but I think it very quickly makes a strong stance and sort of statement, I suppose, with taking that dungeon crawler format and having a really unique spin on what, you know, some people might view as being a little more traditional. Yeah. You know, Neptune's Children, while really loved the aesthetic and everything that did, it presented more like a traditional sort of dungeon crawler, whereas this is a much more unique and sort of outside the box spin on that subgenre. So in Agujero, you play as a mysterious person that's descending down a seemingly never-ending hole that is filled with oddball monsters that are as indignant as they are dangerous. So the spin on this framework is really terrific, and it made me think about a game that we covered a few weeks ago, which was Crawl, which you're going through this cave system, and you can only move forwards. There's no going backwards or anything like that. And that's the same with this game, in that you can only go in one direction, and that is down. And inevitably, you're going to come across these monsters that are blocking your path. And rather than some type of traditional approach to combat or something along those lines, where it's, you know, it's not just hit the monster till it disappears or whatever. Yeah. It's more involved than that. And it has this really great sort of RPG light mechanics, I'll say, in that, you know, every time you encounter a monster, you get this brief bit of dialogue that's back and forth with it. And then you look over to the left and you can see basically your character's body. And then you can see three vital organs, which are your character's brain, their heart, and their guts. And every time you click on one of those, there's a different outcome and an action that's associated with that. So basically, you get to either decide, like, okay, I can either be aggressive, passive, or some other type of oddball way to get out of this situation or to resolve this situation. And, you know, the dialogue options range from diplomatic, trickery, or what actually ends up being the case sometimes is straight up kicking a monster in the face to send it down the further into the hole so you can progress. And, you know, this game has a really great dark sense of humor that I think lines up with sort of our sensibilities, which is that, you know, sometimes the monsters are grotesque, sometimes they're cutesy, but they've got this very sort of like comical edge to them. In one of them, there's this little kind of cutesy looking monster, but then he pulls out a knife and immediately tries to stab you with it. And, you know, I think that the humor is also relevant in terms of, you know, the different player outcomes and options. Because in one of them, I came across a monster where I was like, well, maybe I'll try out combat. And I literally, my character screams like death from above before kicking it in the face repeatedly to send it down. But, you know, about halfway through the experience, and it's about a 15 to 20 minute game, it switches things up and it applies more of like a rock, paper, scissor kind of approach to encounters in that, you know, you have a fair bit of range in terms of experimenting, but then it turns into like certain monsters will have certain items and those items can be used to kind of like progress through a later encounter with a monster. So in one instance, I fought a monster and he dropped a bottle of shampoo and I was like, what the hell is the point of this? And then I came across a monster later that, you know, was wedged against the walls and couldn't move. So what did I do? I lubricated the walls with the shampoo to basically make him slip down and then I could proceed. So it's nice to see a game that is as short as this, that is as confident in its identity and sort of unique spin on that subgenre, but at the same time, it still has a few sort of tricks up its sleeve, rather than just being one note. And I don't think you can describe this game as being one note at all.
No, you can't. It is, from the off, very much has its own style and sense of, you know, place. That screen setup to begin with as well, I really like, you know, with the three squares, basically just detailing, you know, the screen with your face, the screen with your clicking icons and your hole and the meter going down the side. And it's just, yeah, a really simple setup that works surprisingly well. And I think that art style, as you said, is, it reminds me of Smiling Friends, you know, the TV show, the animated TV show, that in terms of like having these weirdos that are kind of like endearing, but fucking weird, you know, dangerously odd as well. And yeah, I like that it was basically a point-and-click adventure with, you know, a singular destination, you know, down, 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 see where you get with what you do. And yeah, the outcomes were surprising as well. It was just a really good all-round experience in that regard. I mean, not much to add from because of what you said, but I mean, it's it was a really, you know, again, that kind of took me, I got taken aback by it. It just, I didn't expect it to be what it was in a way. You know, you get the humor in the page and go, okay, yeah, you get a sense of that. But it was a really well thought out concept and well executed, looks great. And yeah, it's definitely, the proof is in the playing, you know, in terms of like really getting why it's funny, why it works. It's pretty much a one, maybe two time experience, but I think that's enough. That does the job. Yeah, for the time it takes to play it, you get a good experience out of it, and it's pretty rich with what it does. Yeah, I mean, like I said, any game that can commit to such a striking style and then put something behind it like that, yeah, deserves a lot more attention. I think this is one of those that does deserve to be seen outside the usual spaces, and as a good way of like forwarding the notion and idea of like a point and click adventure, where it's not so, you know, it kind of rips away the illusion of like that you are just forever progressing forward in a normal one. You are just, it's there. It's literally, you're going down the tunnel. That's it. That's all you have to worry about. And that is refreshingly simple and gives good time for the writing to shine, I think. Right. I suppose then, we'll go put some fresh batteries in the camcorder, so wait here a moment with this handy brake feature.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, Leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Welcome back to Horror Bites. Dan McGrath, aka Tooth and Claw, has been a firm favourite on Horror Bites, scoring back-to-back Horror Bites of the Year nods with Our Lady of Sorrow and Incident at Grove Lake. The game I have this week is something of a complimentary piece to Incident at Grove Lake. Missing Time was made for the Dread XP Extraterrestrial Jam. Try saying that fast. And is a mixture of McGrath's signature use of found footage with a sort of dreamlike segment reminiscent of the divisive horror flick Skinamarink, I would say. In it, it's basically a tale of audio tapes detailing an abduction of a young girl, and each bit of these sort of first-person sequences you get through a camera, seemingly, has that sort of scuzzy camera vibe, very dreamlike and weird, all nighttime in the house sort of footage. And it's being narrated by the guy who's telling his story, you know, he's telling what's happened in the past, you know, to the audio. So it's mixing the audio recordings with that. We see the return of, you know, like real life conspiracy talk and things, this time in the form of a TV show that's playing on TV. And that's a small sort of bite of what McGrath did with Incident at Grove Lake. It evolves it in a way I was surprised at. You know, it's doing a lot with a little. And I think we did. Yeah, you know, we spoke at length about what Incident at Grove Lake did so well in capturing that sort of classic 90s sci-fi feel. And this does kind of feel like one of those things you would see on TV where people tell you their true life accounts of how they were abducted and all this sort of thing and like that. And it was like, this is like a recreation of that, but taken a bit more seriously than, you know, those ones that you get normally. This is about 15 minutes long, pretty short and sweet, tons of atmosphere. And, you know, we're covering this, and by the time you listen to this episode, he'll have another game out. So he's prolific at this point. And we'll probably end up having to cover that one too. Jay, what did you think about this one?
Yeah, you know, I was really, really impressed with the fact that Dan McGrath was able to return to, you know, the abduction alien subgenre. And at no point does this feel like it is too much of a retreading, right? I think that with Incident at Grove Lake, what was so refreshing about that was the fact that not only is this kind of tapping into, you know, those old radio broadcasts and people recalling whether or not they've been abducted and whatnot, but more importantly, you know, it showed Dan's ability to, I think, change, I suppose, the POVs that he typically uses for his games, right? That one, it was more cinematic, but you also get to have more perspectives and, you know, character perspectives on this narrative that was unfolding. And with this, again, like, the ability to come back and tell another story that's about abductions, but to do it in a way that surprises, I think, in the way that it, you know, taps into the analog nature of both found footage, but also, you know, those audio recordings, which are great. And the fact that you get to watch the sort of the tracking lines of, you know, somebody's voice, and then the audio is also distorted slightly at times. But what I really liked about it was like the vague nature of it. Because it says this like timeline is either October or November in 96. And that paired with actually getting to play or getting to be in that first person perspective of the recollection of events, that just kind of like creates this really great atmosphere that, again, feels very different to his last alien centric game that he made. It actually reminded me a lot. I'm currently watching Fede Alvarez's like anthology audio series on Apple TV that's called Calls, which is just a series of conversations. And then there's some visualization, but it's mostly like an equalizer or just, you know, it's kind of these patterns and whatnot. And it's really, you know, the strength of the writing and the performances. And I would say, likewise, this game, again, has a very limited cast and whatnot, but the cast that's there does a really terrific job in sort of grounding you in this world. And more importantly, conveying a real sense of emotion behind what's happening. It's not solely based on, hey, we're going to look at some creepy images, we're going to have some creepy jump scares, those types of things. It's more, you know, this person recalling an event that they themselves almost struggle to kind of properly recall. And I love the utilization of the color palette, which, again, to name drop another like horror IP or horror film, would be like Skinamarink, the way in which it utilizes those blues and purples and that sort of grainy footage, and then also using reds. Like, I'd love that sort of dreamlike visual style, but paired with a really strong narrative as well. I love to just the sort of some of the tapes are damaged. We get like a Cliff Notes summary sometimes, which again throws a lot of this sort of like, did this happen, did it not? But at the same time, like, we have distorted sections of the tape and whatnot. So there's this real like, you have some of the information being told to you, you get to see and live some of the information, but it finds that nice gray area of like the sort of the duality of people that come forward and talk about these types of things. Cause it's like, well, on one level, there's a good deal of doubt, but at the same time, they are so sincere in their sort of recollection of these events. And some of the dialogue was genuinely creepy. There's the line where he says, they were getting in my head, ticks and leeches stuck with me. And yeah, so again, a really strong showing, but more importantly, you know, the way that we've been covering Dan's games, it's the type of thing where it's great to see real growth, right?
Yes.
Sometimes, you know, you return to a creative and their new project looks just like their last project, which, you know, doesn't mean that it's not well worth checking out or anything like that, but there is a real sense of growth, both narratively, mechanically, and just the ways in which, you know, you can explore subgenres repeatedly and not just do like almost a greatest hits of what worked in your past two games.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, on to another winner, and I'm sure the next one will be good as well. That is us wrapping things up for this week. As ever, if you are a developer of an indie horror game, demo, concept, or game jam entry, we would love to hear from you. You can drop us a DM at SaferInPod on Twitter or SaferInPod@gmail.com for email if you'd like to be highlighted or interviewed on the show. Jay, we've made it to the bottom of another hole. We'll be back next week ready to dive down into another pair of horror bites.